Welcome back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. This is a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. Joining me today is actually one of my oldest friends, Michael Mack. Michael is the Vice President of Convention Services for Visit Salt Lake. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Jason. And when Jason says one of his oldest friends, he doesn't mean in terms of longevity. He means I'm one of the oldest people he knows.
I mean it both ways, actually. I mean that you're one of the oldest people I know, and I've known you for the longest. Both. Michael, thank you for being here today. And some exciting things to talk about relative to our convention industry. But I think of you as more than just a Vice President of Convention Services for Visit Salt Lake, our Convention and Visitors Bureau. You're also a man about town, a bon vivant, if you will.
Vivant.
I'm not very good at French pronunciations, as you well know. And a cultural observer of our fair city, and wanted to chat a little bit as we got started about over the long tenure of your career in the hospitality and convention world. How has Salt Lake City changed?
Oh my
gosh. You've been doing your job for what, 20
years? I've been at Visit Salt Lake for 20 years, and then I had another 6 years in the business in a county south of here, which we won't mention.
It's like Voldemort. You do not say the name.
Right.
Utah County. It's
where they already know that pornography is a, you know, bad thing.
Right. They figured that out months, decades ago.
Right.
Okay, so enough about Utah County. Let's talk about, well, have you seen Salt Lake change over the past 20 plus years?
Well, you know, it's matured. It's just grown up, and certain clients of ours, like Outdoor Retailer, have kind of pulled us into the present and future. But the city just has become such a cool place to live. Always been nice, but it's just drawing more as the vibe grows and as the restaurant scene grows and as the hipster movement grows and all the amenities of the city, our beautiful library right over there, and just all the great amenities that our city has. The city has grown up with it, and we have so much more to offer, and I think everybody's pretty proud of this city.
I think so, too. One of the things, you and I worked together during the Olympics, and one of the things that I always felt like we got out of the Olympics, it wasn't just, you know, the publicity, which was great, or getting I-15 rebuilt, which was a good deadline to have the Olympics to try and get that
tracks.
Done by, and the tracks line up to the University of Utah and the Olympic Park. There were some concrete things about it. But one of the things that I think we took away from that was a renewed sense of self-confidence. Like, we pulled off this really cool event, and the whole world took notice, and it was after September 11th, which was such a horrible time in the world's history and in our history as a country. And to have such a positive, great experience in Utah was something that the Olympics, I think, sort of kicked off. And,
absolutely.
And it feels like it's continued since then.
Definitely. We haven't taken a step back since then. All eyes were on us. A lot because it was post 9/11, one of the first world stage events after 9/11, but also because people from all over the world were here, and we showed them that we know how to take care of people from wherever and show them a really good time.
The capital of nice, I think we were dubbed.
Yeah,
which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, nothing wrong with being nice.
No, nice is good. I think now, several years after the Olympics, we could also add exciting. Like I go out on a Friday night or a Saturday night or a Monday night. And our town is pulsating.
It's alive.
There's great stuff happening. People living downtown, people working downtown, people partying downtown.
Sure. And we both, you know, we still host people from out of town all the time. And I think we look around at the city with those eyes of, oh, I hope it's going to show all right.
Yeah.
But when I'm even downtown by myself without a client, I'm like, wow, it's just, there's so many things going on. And it's fun to see all that movement and all that energy and all that life. And particularly when I do have a client in town to hear from them about, this is the best seafood, you know, people from the East Coast, this is the best oyster place I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Or whatever restaurant we happen to go to.
Yeah.
They're really, really impressed with it.
You eat out a lot as part of your job of hosting people. Maybe before I ask you this question, you could explain a little bit about what you do and what Visit Salt Lake is.
Sure.
Because not everyone may know that.
Yeah, and a lot of people wonder what I do. In fact, one of my
kids always asking.
One of my children told her friend kind of what I did, and she said, oh, he sounds like the president of fun.
That would be a cool title.
I know.
You should swap your vice president
well,
title for that.
Well, I'm over the services department for Visit Salt Lake, which is also known as the Salt Lake Convention and Visitors Bureau, and we take care of out-of-town guests. So not only visitors in our visitor center, but even more so, or in a larger number, convention attendees. So after they get sold to and booked by a salesperson, they come over to my team, and we show them how Salt Lake can handle their meeting, and we help them get their meeting handled, and we entertain them and show them venues where they can host parties and events and restaurants where they can take their most valued clients to dine and not be embarrassed. And,
yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of in a nutshell what I do.
And Visit Salt Lake is a nonprofit contract with Salt Lake County, and it exists really to get conventions coming to our city, to get tourists coming here, to get skiers coming here. Anything right. that benefits Salt Lake County's tourism and convention economy, Visit Salt Lake is in charge of that.
Definitely. And it's very clean money. I think the number currently, every convention delegate, which is not a skier, but someone who actually comes to town for a meeting, on average, one person spends $928 while they're here.
Yeah.
That's not counting their airfare. That's their hotel, food, shopping, entertaining, et cetera. And then they leave town, so they're not a big demand on our services.
Right.
And then they leave that economic impact behind.
Right. So every time you see a convention delegate, you can just say there's $1,000 right there being
right.
contributed to our local economy. Thank you for coming to our city.
Yeah. In fact, I don't ever see faces anymore. I just see
dollar signs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just on, yeah. That's
it's made me a little less personal.
You may not want to admit that on air, but that's all right.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's good. I think understanding the economic role of conventions is really important. I mean, I think that's a
yeah.
valuable thing for people, whether you're in the convention industry or you work for a hotel or you work at City Creek Center or at a restaurant. Even if you don't do any of those things, it's worth understanding that when a convention comes to our city, it's people leaving behind a ton of money and how helpful that is because it relieves the tax burden on everybody else.
Right. And again, back to the Olympics, I think that was a real eye-opener for a lot of people. The conventions or the Olympics were kind of like a huge convention.
Right.
When we bid on the Republican National Convention a few years back, that opened the eyes of a lot of our legislators who kind of thought, yeah, people come to town and spend money, but they didn't realize the extent the efforts we go to bring a group here, and then what the impact can be when they bring their business.
What does that process look like? Because it's not like you're just, you know, people are just calling you and saying, hey, I want to bring my convention there. When can I come?
Right. That happens in Las Vegas, but
yeah,
not here.
It's a little bit more tricky than that. You have a very adept and professional sales team at Visit Salt Lake.
Yes.
Describe what happens. How does a convention decide to come to Salt Lake City?
Well, there's a number of ways, and we have a very seasoned and they've been around for a while, and I only mean that in a good way. They know what they're doing.
Right.
They know how to sell the city.
They're not old, per se.
No, just a couple of them.
Yeah.
But they have learned to find out what a meeting planner and a group's needs are and what their size would be. And, you know, we don't go after groups that are like the electronics show in Las Vegas because that would never fit in Salt
Lake. It's too big.
We have a kind of a range of size, and a sales team reaches out. Not as much cold calling as it used to be, but they hit the road, go and visit the actual associations, build a relationship. Mm-hmm. We invite people out for various activities so they can see the city. Because once they get here, usually they're very impressed and they want to book the meeting.
Yeah.
We also attend trade shows where meeting planners will come by our booth and we talk to them about the latest and most interesting thing in Salt Lake. We have a very strong website, web presence. We also have a very strong social media and just media department where we are, you know, always getting collecting the accolades that we get of the top 10 best city for this or for that, and we regularly send that out to prospective clients to let them know, hey, we're not just some backwater city.
Right. And sometimes people need to have that message. We know
right.
how awesome we are right.
right
now.
Yeah, and it's not like the first time you tell them about it, they're going to say, oh, I'll come to Salt Lake.
Right.
I mean, that does happen, but not very often. It
right.
usually takes years and years of rejection and persuasion.
Yeah. Well, it's a very unique kind of job. I worked, as you know, but maybe not all the listeners, I worked for Visit Salt Lake for 12 years, which is how we got to be friends. And it's an interesting organization because it's very much sales, but you don't actually control the product. The product is the city, so you're out there selling a product that you don't necessarily control. You don't control the price of it. You don't control necessarily the quality of it. And you must be happy right now because there are so many great things going on with our community. It must be an easier product to sell than maybe it has been in our history.
These are the golden years, Jason.
Great. Of course, since I don't work there anymore, of course you would say that.
No, I am proud, and it's nice. We have so much more to offer and to talk about. I mean, we always had something good to talk about, but yeah. Now it's just a much bigger quiver of arrows, if you will.
What are the big concerns that you hear from your clients when, because you really talk to people after they've already made a decision to come to Salt Lake City, what are the big concerns that you hear from other people, from your clients or from others who maybe are deciding not to come to Salt Lake City? Is it concerns about liquor? Is it concerns about, I don't know, what are people worried about when they're thinking about not coming
here? There are some
here?
Initial misperceptions about liquor, but I think once somebody's, no one's going to book a meeting not just having come here. So right. once they get here, they're like, oh, it's just like everywhere else.
Right.
The main concern for Lost Business truly is the lack of a convention hotel, which yeah. we're kind of on the cusp of getting.
Yeah.
But it requires a larger group to use too many individual property hotels, hotel properties.
So a big group, 6,000 people coming, they have to book with 30 different hotels.
Right. Well, for example,
it's cumbersome, inconvenient.
The group we're going to talk about today a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the second half of the show. We have an exciting announcement to talk about.
But the group that's coming in August, they have to use 16 hotels. And that's not the best way to show groups of that kind, the association market, how they can do it, easily do a convention in Salt Lake.
Right.
So we need some big hotels.
So the hotel infrastructure, it's not that we don't like the hotels we have now. We just need one large hotel to serve as a headquarters hotel for large conventions.
And then two pretty good medium-sized full-service hotels.
On top of that.
In addition to what we have.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's nice to be at a place where demand is helping to influence supply, and that this is a need that we have to make some investments, not just in limited service hotels, which we've seen some of that with the Hyatt House and the New Marriott Courtyard across from Energy Solutions, which are great hotels and a huge improvement on what was on that street previously.
Yeah.
But we actually need these full service hotels.
We do. And again, those two hotels you just mentioned, they are, you know, the mid service hotels have come up so much. They're really nice places.
But that's where I usually stay, especially if I'm paying for it myself.
But for a typical convention, they want a full-service, large enough hotel to hold meetings of their own and take care of their VIPs all under one roof.
Yeah. Need a convention hotel. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the American Society of Association Executives, lovingly referred to as ASAE, and the impact that this one large, very important, very cool association is going to have in our community. We will be back after these messages. We're back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, joined today by Michael Mack. Michael is the Vice President of Services.
Hello.
Very nice. Speaking in a falsetto for the remainder of the show today. You don't really do that. People, our limited number of listeners may tune out if you talk that way the whole time.
My fan base has asked me
for some falsetto. Yeah, okay,
well,
please don't.
Next time.
Next time. We can plan ahead. We're talking about conventions, the role of conventions in our community, the need for some additional hotel rooms in our community, which is a great need to have. It's awesome when you're having to build stuff because your clients are demanding it or requesting you build more infrastructure. And we're talking about the American Society of Association Executives. And many listeners may not know what this important group is, even though, Michael, I know for you and your industry and for Visit Salt Lake, super important.
It's the biggest thing ever.
Yeah.
Maybe since the Olympics.
For Visit Salt Lake, it really is, in some ways, maybe even bigger than the Olympics.
It is. For a convention booking entity such as ours, it's a real feather in our cap and a real honor to host the ASAE, American Society of Association Executives. There are thousands of associations out there. So the American Medical Association, the American Lawyers Association.
What's the weirdest association you've ever heard of?
The little people, gnomes, and chowder eating marching society.
Wow.
Yeah. They haven't been to Salt Lake yet, but I'm hoping.
That is an unusual association. Yeah. Okay, so there's a downtown association that the Downtown Alliance is.
There's a Chamber of Commerce association.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, every organization, professional group has an association.
So this August 13th through 16th, we're getting 5,000 of these members coming to Salt Lake, most of whom have never been to Salt Lake before. So we are putting on a big party and a convention for them. But because of the unusual nature of this kind of a meeting, the Convention Bureau is in charge of all the entertainment and the functions. So,
and the reason for that, I'm guessing, is that these associations are the people who hold conventions.
These are decision makers.
Yeah, you're having a convention for the people who choose where future conventions go for much of America,
precisely,
of the convention market.
Yeah, and again, Salt Lake is what's considered a second tier city. Not that we've done anything wrong. It's just based on size.
We're not Chicago or New York or San Francisco.
Correct. So we are second tier. Phoenix is second tier.
Yeah.
But this convention doesn't go to second-tier cities all that often, and they've never been to Salt Lake before. So it's a real opportunity for us to put on our best show, our best foot forward, show them. I mean, the meeting planners for ASAE love this place. They've been out a few times, and they are super excited about what we're going to do for their attendees. And, been very supportive of our plans. So it's going to be really, really great opportunity. And speaking of opportunities,
I was going to say, please.
Because we're hosting this convention, unlike most usual meetings where the group comes in and figures it all out, the Convention Bureau is in charge. We're looking for volunteers, and we're going to need between 200 and 300 volunteers in hot August. It's not all outside work, but just for any listeners who might be interested, it's not quite live yet, but there we have a volunteer website or webpage that will be linked to our Convention and Visitors Bureau webpage, which is visitsaltlake.com. So if you're interested, check it out in about a week, and you can sign up for certain slots and maybe come to some of our party slash events and help us host.
So let's really sell this. Like, let's tell people what's going to happen at ASE. Why would people, why would my mom, Sylvia Mathis, choose to volunteer for ASAE?
Because she loves Salt Lake. She's proud of Salt Lake. She wants to help people have a good experience in Salt Lake and drive future economic benefit to our city.
Yeah. So it's really an opportunity to be an ambassador.
Exactly.
I mean, I think going back to the Olympics that we were talking about in the first half of the show, that's one of the elements that really helped us stand out with the Olympics was so many volunteers. 20,000 people volunteered to help with the Olympics. You don't need quite 20,000 people.
No, I don't, thank goodness. But yeah, extra friendly faces always help.
Yeah. So what are some of the things going on at ASAE, and what would some of the choice prime volunteer opportunities be?
Well, choice might be being a volunteer inside the Salt Palace Convention Center. That's not terribly exciting, but we will need people to help out in the building itself where all the meetings are taking place. But on Saturday, August 13th, we're having an opening party right here at Library Square, a private party. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be a volunteer, you get inside those strict gates.
Yeah.
And then there's also going to be an event on Monday night at the Grand America Hotel. We don't need quite as many volunteers. And then our closing night party will be at Red Butte Garden.
Very cool.
On Tuesday, August 16th.
And you're taking over the amphitheater at Red Butte
Garden.
Taking over
the amphitheater with a very interesting, can't tell you right now, we've got them under contract, but we have a really exciting performing act.
Very cool.
A band.
Well, and so you've picked some really unique Salt Lake-centric experiences, Library Square, Red Butte Garden. I mean, these are really cool experiences that people will get to have.
Right. And because it's summer, you know, there's not a ton of places you can have a party for 5,000 people,
right,
especially if it's not summer.
Right.
Typically, it would be inside the Salt Palace or the Delta Center. Yeah. I still call it that.
It's the Viv and Smart Home Arena.
Oh, that, yeah. The Viv. Yeah. But Library Square and Red Butte Garden are both great venues for that. So it's going to showcase the beauty of Salt Lake, but it's also going to show a group, hey, you can do a party for your attendees
for
up to 5,000 people or even more.
Yeah. What do you hope to get out of ASAE when they come here? When you have 5,000 meeting planners who are deciding where future conventions go?
Lots and lots of future meeting bookings.
You want people to come here and go, wow, I never thought of Salt Lake, but this is
right.
Pretty cool.
And the track record, sorry to talk over you, the track record for those cities that host ASAE is very strong. They get a lot of business out of it for future meetings that come back to that city, that host city.
So ASAE, August. What are the other big things on the horizon? What are the other things that Visit Salt Lake is looking at, working on? Where do you see our community being in 5 years?
5 years, I see us with a new convention hotel and probably two
mid-size
300 to 600 room hotels,
okay,
right downtown. Even more fabulous restaurants than we have now. I mean, I'm excited about the new Stanza restaurant opening next week, and the new HSL, which I haven't been to yet, but I hear great things about.
I've heard it's really
the
cool.
The old Vinto spot.
Yeah.
And just cool events. So more conventions, more grown-up city, more ways to take care of people, perhaps easier liquor licensing issues for groups.
Is the liquor thing really an issue? I mean, that's a question that people...
It's more a local issue for people. You know, a hotel, a resort, let's say, Snowbird, where they have to have a certain number of different kinds of liquor licenses where they couldn't just have one to take care of everything. So it's rarely noticed by a guest, but it's just the reputation is out there.
Yeah.
And any little thing, any little story magnifies and people go, oh, well, I guess, can you get a drink there? And we still get asked that question. So... hopefully a normalization, not making it lax, but just making it a little more user-friendly.
So it's more consistent with what people might have experienced back at home.
Yeah, and what people who go to, sophisticated people who go to meetings kind of expect wherever they go in this country.
Yeah, it seems, you know, when I've taken people out or gone out with people, I've rarely had somebody say the next morning, gosh, I wish I'd had another drink in Salt Lake City. Like alcohol is available in our community.
Yeah. And I know you and I have never said that.
Never. That's never been a problem that I've faced.
Can I make up one other thing I'm looking forward to, though?
You can. We have one minute left. Yeah.
The Rock and Roll Swap Meet this Sunday.
Oh.
At the Indian Walk-In Center, brought to you by the people who bring you the Urban Flea Market.
Oh, really?
It's going to be a every other month affair starting this Sunday.
Are you participating?
I'm actually going to be a vendor there, but that's not why I'm plugging it. I just think it's a really cool idea.
So explain what this is, because not everyone will know this.
People are going to bring their old instruments, posters, CDs, tapes even, records, anything music connected. And from 10 till 4 on Sunday at the Indian Walk-In Center, which is over by the ballpark, and if people want to get in an hour early to really cherry pick, you have to pay $20 to get in for that ride. But I'm sure there's going to be some amazing stuff there, because it's not like the, you know, get rid of all these old crappy records kind of
these are like
festivals.
Things.
This is like good stuff that people have hung on to, and now they're thinking maybe I want to get rid of. And admission will be regular hours is going to be $2 a person, but it all goes to a very, very good cause.
Which is?
It goes to medical expenses for our great favorite DJ, Bad Brad Wheeler, who was seriously injured a couple weeks ago and has some medical bills to tend to.
Oh, well, that's great. What a good thank you for participating in that and selling off some of your music memorabilia.
Yes.
Or what it,
my whatever. Wife's happy about that, too.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
But I'm not selling my Donny Osmond poster, just so don't get your hopes up.
Julie Rhodes, that Donny Osmond poster, it's not available. Sorry, Julie. Michael, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Jason, anytime.
I appreciate your friendship. Appreciate the work that you do for our fair community. And when you try hard, you really can be charming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping someday to be a giant in our city.
Well, keep hoping. We'll work on it. If you keep playing your cards right and contributing, maybe you will get that honor someday in the future. You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. If you'd like to consider volunteering for the American Society of Association Executives, a major convention coming in August, go to the Visit Salt Lake website, visitsaltlake.com, and you can participate in this really cool show and help to be an ambassador for our community.
Thank you.